Okay, let's go! Welcome everybody to episode something or other of the Noise Cancelling Podcast, a podcast where we talk about tech and sometimes really important tech and sometimes less important tech, but the underlying theme is, you've guessed it, tech. Who's with me on this here podcast?
I'm Sherelle Smith, Editor-in-Chief of Laptop Mag.
I'm James Beckham, Phones Editor for Tech Radar.
And I'm Joel Lynch, Executive Editor for Tech Radar.
And I'm Gareth Beavis, Global Editor-in-Chief of Tech Radar. And I will say I was the most confident in who I was in all of that. Cherie started off very pensive. Pexy kind of picked it up. And Gerald, you know, is really into the groove there. I've been away 1 week, Cherie, and you've managed to forget who you are. Am I that crucial to your identity?
Never that.
If ever there was a time to question your reality, though.
What, it's now?
Now would be it, right? Yeah.
Or the week after I've been away for a week.
Yeah, you're the grounding force.
Yeah, for the world at large. How was last week, Cherie?
Last week was great. Mark was on. Well, Mark Spoonhauer, global editor chief of Tom's Guide, and we talked iRumors and a whole bunch of other things. Electric vehicles. It was a really good episode. If you didn't catch it, you should.
What you meant to say was it was terrible. Don't listen. It wasn't worth it. Arguably one of the worst we ever recorded. Right.
Oh, all right.
That's what you meant to say. I'm sure it's fine.
I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Cherie. It's very kind of you to say. Anyway, let's talk about this week's episode, which has got things to talk about within it. We're going to go for a bit of a whoop around with different sections going different places this week. But as usual, we're starting with the big question, le grand question en français. and this one is, well, I mean, 2020, we've all agreed, was shite. Let's forget about it. It's ruined everything. It's continued to ruin things in 2021. One of which was the film June is now going to be not released in the cinemas. It's going to be on HBO Max.
June.
So the big question this week is, what is the 2020 movie that you just want to see released already? Where is it? Bring it out now. I mean, I feel like we've only got like this one was chosen largely by producer Matt, and I feel like I can only think of like three films that didn't come out last year that should be this year, but there's probably like thousands that they've been shelved. I just don't know about them.
There's two.
There's a whole Wikipedia page.
Yeah, but there's two that I'm really interested in, like Dune. Is one of them. It's been long in development by a great director, Denis Villeneuve.
I think it's Denis, but yeah.
Denis. Denis Villeneuve. It's by Denis Villeneuve. The story of bringing Dune to screen has been like quite a convoluted one over the years. You've had
your uncle did one adaptation, didn't he?
Yeah, my uncle David Lynch. He did a much hated version in the '80s. Not very much of his own. I think that was another one that had like studio involvement, but this is like a big epic sci-fi fantasy fest that has a huge group of fans behind it. The original novel has inspired everything from Star Wars to other sci-fi. but it has, and it's and you know, it's got an amazing cast as well. So you've got little Timothée Chalamet. I don't know why I'm doing it. It's because Gareth said something in French at the start, and now I'm just doing silly voices. Timothée Chalamet. Jason Momoa. I've stopped now.
I really wish I had control over the soundboard so I could just shush Gerald down. The question was, which film would you like to see released from 2020? And it's just been like you saying weird names in an odd French accent.
But it's a great cast and a great director. This is the guy who did the Blade Runner 2049. So it's the Blade Runner sequel. He did Arrival.
Why do you care though, Gerald? All I want to know is why it's a good film we want to see this year.
Well, it's got loads.
It's not like Gerald's film hour.
Well, that was it. They were the reasons. The good names of the actors that I can say in funny accents, and the long history of the film.
So basically, June is the one that you wish is coming out. The title of the question
and the new Ghostbusters.
There we go.
But I ain't got nothing to say about that because you've just made me feel silly now, so I'm just going to go quiet and let someone else say something.
That's the goal, Pexy.
Hello. My Mars is relatively boring, but I'm just desperate for that Bond movie. Finally, I just want the Bond movie out. I need that. I need that back. But I do want to go to the cinema for it as well. I don't want to watch it on my TV at home. I want to go see that in the biggest screen possible. Same with Dune, as we've just been talking about. But I don't really want that to be a home release, but I'm just desperate for cinemas to open it. At the moment, it looks like they will reopen in the UK in May, but I'm hoping that does.
It's gonna be May.
Yeah, I'm hoping it keeps to a September release date, but who knows? And yeah, obviously they've had to. Well, some rumors have said they've had to refilm certain elements of that movie because certain smartphones they were using were going to be outdated by the time it came out 2 years after it was originally meant to be released. So
Nokia 3310s is all over the place.
It's going to be quite fun to see the back of Daniel Craig's head or probably a stunt double as they use the brand new phones.
Bond's on dial-up.
Yeah, like Poochie in Simpsons when they get rid of Poochie, they just do the goodbye. I must leave here now. Like, hey Bond, what phone are you using?
it's pretty dark in this underground cavern. I better refill my paraffin lamp.
Oh my god!
I really do enjoy watching like the older films because it really gets dated by tech. You sort of realize, hang on. His laptop is massive, and this film was only like, oh wait, that was 10 years ago. Suddenly you realise that in films, that's not very long, but in tech, it's a long, long time. Mm. Cherie, what about you? What do you miss? What are you hoping for?
I really, really want Nia DaCosta's Candyman. I've been like, ever since I saw the first couple of trailers, I've been really excited for it. And they keep pushing it back. Now I've heard no date. Like, I want my movie. And I'm actually very excited for Black Widow. So I'm hoping that I can see that in the theater. But I really, really want to see. I want to be back in the theater because, like, there's nothing like watching a horror movie with a whole bunch of people, it just feeding off of all that nervous energy.
Yeah, I have a big TV at home, but it's they don't call me executive
big TV
editor.
Boy.
They don't call me executive editor for nothing. You know, it's nothing to do with actually. It's nothing to do with actually my role. It's to do with my life.
You have a slow cooker, Gerald.
I rented Godzilla versus Kong at the weekend, and it was good fun, but I just couldn't help but thinking, I really wish Kong was IMAX sized, you know. And even with my executive television, it it just didn't quite live up to like the majesty of these big cinema moments, you know. So yeah, I'll be keen to get back to a good cinema.
So for me, I mean, Bond and Black Widow, you know, I love going to the cinema for just the big blockbusters, really. Just want to see those films. I don't care where else to see the rest of them. I generally won't bother putting things on TV because I just can't bother to spend all that money just to watch it in home when you can watch it later and time is now relevant. So that's all good. But I have just, as we pointed out, there is a list of all the films out there and I'm looking through and I'm like, I definitely want to go and see Space Jam A New Legacy. I mean, that needs to be there. I mean, the new Matrix film, that needs to be solved. And Bill and Ted Face the Music. And let's not forget Clifford the Big Red Dog. That's not coming out on time, apparently. So big problems there for Clifford fans.
I think you've missed your chance for Bill and Ted. I don't think that's going to come to cinemas now.
Yeah, because that came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't get to see it in the cinema. Hopefully they'll bring it out properly.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
All right. Also, I wasn't really paying attention to the list I was looking at. There was a bit next to it that told you what actually happened. I read the names of the titles and just didn't bother checking into the rest of this. All right, hang on. To be released... The Many Saints of Newark. I can't wait for that one. Don't know what it's about, but it sounds great.
The Sopranos.
Newark's a fun place, right? Oh, is it? Oh, I hate Sopranos. Okay, forget that. Don't want to see that. I'm going to see Clifford. It's out late this year.
Wait, you know what? For the sake of this argument, no, Clifford didn't come out.
Well, now we're going to really annoy our listeners and find out what's going on with Clifford. Clifford the Big Red Dog to be released in theaters on November the 5th, 2021. Don't get confused with the 2004 animated film Clifford's Really Big Movie. Great name. Nope, it'll be released in Real D3D Dolby Cinema and IMAX on November the 5th, 2021 by Paramount Pictures. So clearly Clifford fans have still got a lot to look forward to this year. It's 2021, isn't it? Yeah, it is. I've got genuinely forgot then at that point. Pexy, you would have got the points except for the fact that I've tried to lead you into the really great story you told us about your flatmate but you haven't done it yet.
Yeah,
about June.
At one point, we had a conversation where I said that June was being delayed, and he genuinely thought I said that the month of June was being delayed, and he'd had such a bad year that he believed that.
Yep. Time, everything we know, calendars are just fluid. Nothing matters anymore. We can be.
I just don't think I can say June. I just can't. I can't. June. Yeah.
You got to do it like that. June.
You got to do the vaguely racist accent.
What?
D-Y-O-O-N. What?
What is
which one's the racist one?
Yeah. No, actually, don't say which one. Like, wait. No.
Don't commit that to recording, Pexy. Let's move on. We're moving our sections around right now. What would normally be the "What's going on?" section is now coming before the news. Exciting, and the reason for this is we are really pouring one out for LG, because LG is leaving the smartphone world forever. And I, you know, between us on this call, we must have what, 30 years experience in the tech industry, maybe. All of that is underpinned in some way by an LG product. You've been near an LG phone launch. I know, Cherie, maybe, well, I was about to say maybe less you, but you know, you're an audio specialist. LG went big into audio for a while. You would have been close to these phones. In America, LG phones have got a different reputation to in the UK. They've been a massive part of my career working in phones and tech. So this is quite a big loss, the fact that LG's going, you know what, we can't do this anymore. And I'm really sad because they were just getting going with the really batshit stuff, like phones with wings and rollerballs. And I was thinking, right, they've really just, you know, going into crazy mode because they don't mind anymore. And then they've just given up. So yeah,
that was also sort of like...
The death rattle.
The death rattle, wasn't it?
Yeah, but let's finish it. You know, don't just go, do the...
you know I'm an LG phone apologist.
I know you are. That's why I was really excited to have you on the call, Joe.
What did I have? I had the G3, the G4, the G5. I think I skipped the G6. Was there a G6?
Mm-hmm. I think you only had the G6. You never had any other ones. You got confused.
I definitely had the G7. Mm-hmm. And I think I had for a little while the Think Q8, GG8, Q. I mean, they had that was an awful name, so I can't remember it.
Think Q, yeah.
G8 Think Q. I mean, part of that was, you know, what's it? What's that thing? When you don't know something, so it's better for you that you don't. What's that saying?
Ignorance is bliss.
Part of it was that thing when you don't know something, and then it's better for not knowing the other thing. Yeah, ignorance is bliss.
that famous phrase.
And then when I got James's hand-me-down Google Pixel, I was like, oh, that's what life is like with a
on the
phone
other side.
Is nice. but you know, they weren't bad. They weren't awful phones. I think just the thing with smartphones over the last few years, that's they sort of like homogenized, right? You knew what you wanted from a smartphone. There were companies that nailed it, and the ones that even if they fell short by, you know, the smallest of margins, it felt like a gulf because everyone was so good.
I don't think any of the flagship LG phones really, really impressed us since probably the LG G2 was probably the last one that genuinely floored us. And I know Gareth wants to talk about that. So go ahead, Gareth.
I literally want to talk about it because after that launch, I went and had the best burger of my life in New York. So that genuinely has made me love the phone a bit more.
All right.
But it was in Hell's Kitchen. Brilliant. It was a 5-napkin burger. And oh, God, I loved it. Anyway.
Oh, five.
Yes, no? 5-napkin?
Oh, yeah. I love five
good.
Napkin.
Okay. Phew. But the LG G2, I do think was the highlight. I think that was also the start when LG started to get rid of the Optimus name. I was going to say, well done, they started to simplify the names, but then I forgot about adding in the ThinQ side of things to start this new smart home brand name thing. But obviously, it doesn't matter anymore. But the G2 was just brilliant. And I don't know, I was looking at this for the piece you did, Pexy, about the retrospective of our favorite LG phones. But in my mind, I loved the fact that it had the power button and the volume keys on the back. And John, who became phones editor after me, they persisted with this rear phone key for a while, and the tagline became "Anything is possible" with that on there, and it became a running joke of just like, well, if anything's possible with this in the back, what could it be? And as I'm saying it out loud to other people, it's a very poor in joke, and I wish that this would get deleted by the editor. But but you know, the idea of that redesign back then, in whatever it was, 2011, possibly something around there,
13, I think,
was it
2013? 2013 was a big year. They had that, they had the Nexus 5, and they had the G Flex, the original G Flex, I think.
It's so interesting that they did the Nexus. When you think about that, the Nexus being like the run into the Pixel phones, right? And how like streamlined and clean those devices were, even for their day when phones were like mad full of bloatware. Think of that HTC's crazy like widget screens and stuff. And then when you think of where LG ended up, which did just become kind of like, I don't want to say novelty phones, but definitely gimmick phones. Like there was the one that had the leather back, wasn't there? There was the modular G4. One. G5 was the one.
G5 with friends.
G5 with friends. I've got a soft spot for the G5 with friends. And for the record, looking at the Tech Radar review of the LG G5, without looking at the site, what did we give it out of 5?
Ooh.
4.
3.5.
You're going 4. You're going 3.5. Sheree, want to have a guess? I know you're not on Tech Radar, but...
I'm going to go with a 3.
We gave it 4.5 out of 5.
Woof.
Ooh. I was going to say that because we gave nearly every phone that for a while. So.
Yeah, but I mean, but it goes to show that like they weren't bad phones, right? They just weren't the best phones, yeah. And I don't think you can afford to not be the best in the smartphone world anymore. Even Google, like we see, like the Pixel phones now is just sort of like a vehicle for what's new on Android, and I don't think they sell very well. Is that fair to say?
They don't particularly.
Yeah, so like.
It's not Samsung or Apple numbers, essentially.
Samsung or Apple, but that's it now, right? It's Samsung or Apple.
Back in the day,
yeah,
yeah. But I mean, I mean, it's interesting. Someone with an LG was telling me that no one really wants to be associated with the G5 with friends project. Almost that there was something that's sort of like a let's not talk about that, which I find incredible because it was a good idea. It was modular phones have always been an interesting idea, but they just don't seem to work as much. I'm genuinely flabbergasted by the fact the G2 came out in 2013, if that was true. In my mind, I was really early in my career for Tech Radar, but clearly not. But LG has had, I mean, you say about, you know, unless it's a brilliant phone, like Samsung doesn't make brilliant phones all the time, but markets its way around some of the poorer ones. Apple is very similar, but has its sort of fans, and as long as it doesn't screw up too much, it doesn't matter. And Huawei, as we talked about, had these huge numbers until it was banned from the US, again, largely through marketing. And LG just never really had a consistent message. You know, Sony, HTC, LG, all these different brands had genuinely good phones in the mix at times and just never built on them. They couldn't afford to do the proper marketing. HTC had a real shot and then just threw it away with Robert Downey Jr. and Hipster Troll Car Wash. But like those kind of things, they didn't spend time building and marketing a really strong, I just fucking want this phone brand, which is what Apple and Samsung do. And LG, I still think, you know, had a good shot with that. They had, in America, Sheree, you had a lot more, I think, love for LG phones than maybe in Europe, where there was a lot more, it was less partisan with the different brands. And you had, I know that everyone was wearing the LG headphones at one point, those kind of round the neck ones with the little earbuds that went up. There was a real kind of love in for this smartphone world in the life is good, lucky gold star space, but seems to have not made it through.
I remember like the LG chocolate, because for a hot second I was doing a few reviews, but I remember when I first got my first LG phone, it wasn't a great phone, it wasn't a bad phone, it was just a phone. And the LG skin was made Android, which was back then, it was fast then, but like, cause think about it now, it's kind of slow, even more slow. But then I'm going to miss LG because LG is like one of the few out there willing to just take innovation and just run with it. Yeah. Like, oh, we're doing dual screens. Okay. We just watched Samsung, drop the ball with the edge gate or folds or bend gate, whatever you want to call it. We're not even going to worry about that mechanism. We're just going to give you an extra screen, and when you want it, you pop it in and you have a bigger screen that you can do all these fun things on.
And you never want it.
I liked playing with it when I got to demo it. I would have loved to have taken that for a review.
Well, I think that whole like Snap-on move things around, that's the whole thing with the modular with the LG G5 and stuff, was just people don't want that extra thing. It's like when you have a stylus that comes in a separate pouch. Like, no, put it in the phone or not at all, because otherwise people aren't going to use this because they don't want to have extra things.
It's interesting, though, that like we still talk about like external accessories for phones, don't we, right? So people still want an Apple Watch. They still want a Fitbit or some sort of tracker. We're now talking about, you know, the potential for like AR glasses and stuff like that. And they're all going to be at least connected to the phones, if not, you know, tied to them. I'm not sure if we'll get a truly independent pair of AR glasses anytime soon. I doubt that. Like, so it's not like there isn't room for modular ideas and that kind of weird add-on, like extracurricular parts and stuff, you know, like a gamepad. I mean, yeah, look at the rise of people using game controller shells on their phones, you know, like,
and just gaming phones in general.
It's just a shame that it feels that like the smartphone is now devoid of that kind of wacky chance taking, you know?
LG did do that up until the end, really. The LG Wing from last year was it genuinely the sort of thing that as soon as I heard about it in the briefing, I was like, no, like this can't be real. Like you're really actually going to release this product. It's not even a concept. And it came out and it was an actual phone, and we reviewed it relatively well on Tech Radar. It was batshit, as we say. But and the LG Rollerball itself, again, like I'm really sad we won't ever see that phone again. Yeah. I don't think it was ever going to be the best phone in the world. It was never going to get there, but it was something different. It was something exciting, and it was LG doing what LG does best and being weird.
I worry that LG are going to like get cold feet with their weird idea. It used to be Sony's domain, right? Sony used to do all the weird stuff, but like LG are the guys now that have like a rollable TV that comes down from your ceiling, you know. They have
LG's OLED TV business is flying, so that they've got the space to be the telephone leaders.
sure but like even, you know, like the LG Gram, right, is like super thin, kind of interesting little laptop design.
Yeah,
you know, like,
it's not.
Maybe not.
That's a clever name rather than a clever design. Sure.
Sure. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Like it's out. Because if I.
That's the review.
Full stop.
I would rather stop it. I would rather.
Didn't even know.
LG invest take the laptop branch and invest into the smartphone branch. I think they were making much more interesting smartphones than laptops, and if I had to make a choice, I would go with the smartphone.
But they made a 4.5 billion loss in the last 5 years of their smartphone business, so that's probably why they decided not to do that.
Wow.
$5 billion.
That is crazy.
I don't know if that was absolutely confirmed by LG.
It was being propped up by the rest of the business, which is doing much better. But I feel like we don't spend all the time on this, but we could, because every single phone has got, like I said, a story. You know, the LG, I mean, I had the LG Optimus G, the first one. I got sent the Korean version and had an antenna in it so you could watch TV in Korea, and like just as a thing to like put in your mouth and just pull up and down when you're just not doing anything. It was just super like the phone just flipped back and forth. It was super fun. And then the Optimus Chat, that was like a really fun tiny slidable keyboard phone that I really enjoyed. And then the G2 had the phone on the back, and then they had a phone that had a leather back, because like, why not? And then modular, and then it all started to get sort of slower. But LG always was trying to do something. I remember that there was one time, I won't say which, where we had like a special dinner to talk about what was happening in LG, and it was like they showed us something, and it looked very, very similar to something else that another brand was doing, and someone in there was like nodding and winking and laughing like they knew what they had done. I was like, are you sure you should be doing this in front of journalists? But it was never fully proven with that kind of thing, but it was just that kind of attitude of there was basically them versus Samsung in their mind, and it was just, as long as we're doing something interesting, that's all that matters. But I'm sad. I feel like LG just ended up being like this leader to go off and like in Formula One or in any motor racing, a slower car will go out and clean up the track so that the faster guys can come around and get a good run in, because they'll get a little bit of advertising space in front. And that's what LG end up doing, just going and setting these things, seeing if people like them or not, and then someone else will go and do it in a more refined way, which is a shame.
I think they leave a legacy, though. If you look at, like...
Absolutely.
If you look at the Nexus phones, right, and...
The Nexi phones,
and the direction that took Android phones at that point, right, the idea of, like, a clean, minimal, no bloat, if possible, phone. Okay, it was done in conjunction with Google, but you know, like, that is the phone market as we see it now, pretty much, right? The most highly lauded phones are the ones that don't force anything flashy, anything like unnecessary upon you. They give you stock Android where possible, and then it's just good specs around it, right? And that idea of like a vanilla phone, like, comes from, despite the way that they ended up going all batshit at the end, that came from LG and Google together. So in that respect, I guess, you know, they made a difference.
They made a difference, guys. It really mattered. Yeah, I will too. I mean, like I said, some of the best like press events I ever went to were from LG. Some of the worst as well. Some of them are really dull, but you know, but some of the, I said there were some of the best ones. Like, the final one I'll say is, there was a watch when they did the LG sort of Dick Tracy style watch very long time ago, where you could do video calls with it. There was I can't remember who was doing the call, but it was one of the very high ups at LG, and they did this sort of look into it, and they remember them saying like, "Hello, Steve," as in like pretending they were talking to Steve Jobs when Apple had just come out, as in, like, why are you doing that? But just because they could just pretend they were talking to the head of Apple.
One of the first circular Android watches as well, they did. I'm guessing, you know, that'd be last year, that sort of stuff as well, yeah, for them. So,
well, sad times for LG, and I'm surprised no one's bought the business. I thought that would have been a thing that happened, but apparently not. So sad times. So if you've got an LG phone and a good one, keep hold of it in a box, because then you can 5 years time wonder if it's worth anything, look on eBay, realize not, and have to throw it away. So that's something for the future for everybody. Let's move on to usually our new guest, but someone who hasn't been here before, the Hall of Fame. Gerald Archibald Lynch, you're up first for this. What are you bringing to the Gadget Hall of Fame, and why, and convince us that it deserves to live there?
The LG G5.
Well, I have... Yeah, I'm bringing the LG Gram, the world's greatest lightweight laptop. I kind of want to have two. I'll be very quick about them, if that's okay.
You go for it, babes.
All right, cool. I'll do the obvious one first, because that one is one we can rattle through and everyone loves this thing anyway. And if it isn't in the Hall of Fame, then you're idiots for not getting this in there as the first entry. But my first entry to the Gadget Hall of Fame is the Super Nintendo, Nintendo's 16-bit cartridge-based console. For me, it was one of the first kind of games consoles that, well, I think it was the first games console in the house, in my house growing up, that was mine. And no one else's. We never had like a console before. We had like computers. I had like Amiga 500 and Commodore 64, but I've got two older brothers, and that was kind of their thing. But the Super Nintendo was mine. Oh, mine, my precious. And I remember getting it for a birthday that my brothers got. So I got it quite late into its lifespan as well, right? So when did the SNES come out? I want to say 89, Super Nintendo, 1989.
You're hiding this well, Gerald.
What year could it be? Tap, tap, tap. Yeah, I think 89. And I got it probably like 95. I know we were on the cusp of sort of like the PlayStation generation anyway. But what that meant to me was I had access to this like absolutely stellar library of games relatively cheap for the time. And when you just look back at like all of the games that come out on the Super Nintendo now, and how many of them are still the games that like the franchises that we still care about now. Now, some of these were set up on the NES, but they were like perfected in their 2D form on the SNES, you know, so Super Metroid, Zelda A Link to the Past, Mario World, Mario Kart, first ever Mario Kart on the SNES, one of the best games of all time still, you know. And then you've got some of the like
Mario Kart 64, but carry on.
Yeah, you're very wrong. You know, Final Fantasy 3/6, depending on where you live in the world, Chrono Trigger, Secret of Mana. And then there's like, you know, some of the weirder things you could get on there as well. It was a time of like actually half decent, maybe this is rose tinted glasses and my age at the time kind of making me think it, but like half decent licensed games. The Super Star Wars games, fantastic. Jurassic Park for the SNES, check it out. It's better than you think it is. It's not great, but it's better than you think it is. International Superstar Soccer, which goes on to become ISS, which goes on to become Pro Evolution, which goes on to become the only football game to, you know, combat FIFA's dominance. So yeah, the Super Nintendo is the zenith of 16-bit 2D gaming, and it deserves a place in the Gadget Hall of Fame.
Okay. I mean, you're in straight away, and then you managed to kind of make me want to put it in less by the reasons you gave, but carry on.
Well, you just got bad taste then. My second...
It's just that Super Mario Kart on the SNES wasn't the best version of Mario Kart.
That's just someone who's not very good at it.
I played Mario Kart 64 before I played the first one, then I went back to it and was like, this is shit compared.
Nah, it is a masterwork of actually precision driving that, and it hasn't got any of the weird stuff that the later ones have, like blue shells that mean that you lose the race and at the final checkered flag and stuff.
There was blue shells in the first one, there.
See, now look, you come at me with your bad knowledge of Mario Kart, and then, you know, and then we'll see. But no, there were no blue shells in Mario Kart in the SNES. But yeah, I love this. Yeah, thank you. I love.
Good idea, though.
I love Super Nintendo and SNES, as it's known in the States. And yeah, may it long.
SNES in the States, isn't it? It's SNES in the UK.
Super Nintendo in the UK. Well, whatever. We all know what SNES. We're all about here, don't we?
Yeah, we all call it SNES here.
Yeah.
Oh, really? But you call it the NES?
The SNES.
Yeah, not the SNES. You call it SNES.
Yes. A lot of alliteration.
I feel like Cherie's just like gone somewhere else and just left like a Cherie soundboard to be like, yes, yes. SNES, yes, yes. Yes. Agree. Don't. What?
Cool. Real.
Good chat, guys. Good chat. my second choice is the Casio calculator watch.
Great. I mean, I'm on board now. Let's see how you can ruin this one.
So specifically, I'm talking about the DBC32/1A
databank. Databank. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
That's the one. And it was just one of those things that as a kid, you know, like there was also that like watch that like turned the TV over. Actually, that would have been a better choice, wouldn't it?
All right.
Anyway, we'll forget
everyone,
about that one.
The thing is, everyone only ever wanted that watch for the turning the TV over, and I wanted it desperately just so you could turn off the TV in class when everyone was watching TV. That was the only reason you wanted it. And then phones got the functionality later on. I'm like, ha! And I got it. It was like just in time where I could start to mess around with other people's TVs, and that was fun. So I was like, oh, this would have been amazing in school.
But that's not the watch we're talking about today.
You have complete license, Joe. It's not like you've had to declare it at the door.
Yeah, no, it was a good one, but I never owned the TV watch, so I left it.
No one did.
But yeah, the calculator watch. It was just like this sort of thing of like they had like a mystique around it when I was at like school. Like all of the cheap kids, you know, who were sitting there doing their maths lessons under the table on their watches, you know, being able to write the word boobies on their wrists. You know, by putting in the old 8008135.
Why
do
you
in reverse?
You had to do it backwards.
In reverse.
What? Yeah, exactly. It was 5318008, wasn't it?
We all know it. We all know it.
Why though?
Why wouldn't you, Cherie? Have you never been a young boy at school?
No, I haven't. What the?
But that sort of thing, that's how we got by. That's how we got by in my day. You didn't have Instagram. You didn't have, you know, your tweeters and your face pads and your you know, your smartphone this and your I watched that. No, you had the boobies phone.
It was a phone know. Now.
All phones are technically boobies.
Sorry. Yeah, all phones are boobies phones. I mean, the boobies watch. And, you know, you had to get your kicks somewhere as a kid. And my kicks were writing the word boobies on a calculator watch and then using it to pass simple maths questions.
I mean, come on, as a calculator, that was quite poor. So, like, if you were on the desk trying to do it, you'd be down there for a long time trying to work the thing. As you a see, calculator.
Look, just tried to do it on my phone, and it just doesn't work.
And it is Gareth saying all phones are boobies phones. It's not true.
I meant more like actual boobies, though. Like,
I want to know what you're on about, Gareth, to be honest.
Just type in boobies into Google. Brilliant.
Is that something
no,
you do?
No, let's not.
No.
What you do on your free time is up to you.
Safe search on, obviously. It's out there. Don't turn safe search off. Never.
But, you know, it was a really good watch. The battery lasted for years.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about
the screen was good. It kept time phenomenally well. I bought one when I was at university, just because I thought it was cool to have another one again, like I had when I was a kid. And it served me for a good 10 or so years. And, you know, no end of fun writing boobies on your wrist when you're down the pub.
No end whatsoever.
Hey.
Good to see it making the Gadget Hall of Fame today.
I firmly think it deserves to be in there. I feel like it's one of the greatest gadgets of all time. Again, your reasoning takes it downwards. But...
yeah, like
Sheree, adjudicate. Come on, you're the most rational of us right now.
Well, for the SENS, like I gotta let that in. The watch description just got like I was with you for a hot second, and then you just went into
please.
Can I abstain from this one?
Abstain.
I will
don't
say yes.
It off because just because I used it for degenerate means doesn't mean that it isn't a device worthy of praise in its own right. You know, you can't blame Casio for the crude work that young British schoolboys did with their Casio calculator watches in the early 90s. You know, but you know, I'll take that. I can take that hit, but the poor little watch, it can't handle that.
Okay, so Sheree, which one would you do it in? The SNES SNES Super Nintendo or the boobies watch?
Oh, I have to choose.
Yeah.
No,
well, I'm going with the SNES. Of course.
Ha, that's where you are wrong, because you know there's a little bit where you can put a cartridge in a SNES. And there's the little flap where the cartridge gets stuck in. Well, I've secretly snuck a Casio calculator watch in the gap in between.
So you've broken both things.
Yeah. I go down with my ship. Yeah. So it's into the Hall of Fame anyway.
Someone tries to crunch a cartridge in there and they just smash the watch and break the Super Nintendo. And they're like, oh, fuck's sake, Gerald. Like, okay, yeah, all right. Capexi, you've got a vote. Which one would you choose?
I'm going Casio watch
now. Yeah, my booby brother.
I feel like this episode way, way far down the line will be considered problematic.
Everything's problematic far down the line, though, isn't it? Really? That's what the last period of time has taught us.
All right. Well, problematic in the sense that anyone thinks that Super Mario Kart is the best version, but I think the iconic nature of the watch makes me want to put that in. And I didn't have the Super Nintendo, so I'm going to have to go with that. But I feel like if I had a SNES, this would be all very different. Right. Okay. We are way over time. For some reason, we've chatted about nothing for a very long time, and I'm very proud of us for that. Right. So now we've got to do the news blast. Spoiler alert, everyone. I'm down to do it. I forgot again. That I was down to do it. Done zero prep as per usual.
Oh no.
So let's see how this is gonna go. While Gerald's been doing the Gerald's is spinning out this chat about different watches and things, I've been trying to work out what I'm gonna do. So let's find out what's gonna happen here. I'm not gonna set my new records this time, but I've got some thoughts that I want to share with the listeners, so at least that's something. So someone time me up.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Go.
So 500,000 people have been affected possibly by the Facebook hack. You should check out if it's been you, because some people have been. Apple might be doing a car. Tim Cook has broken rank about that a little bit and said, oh, we might be doing something. Have a look. Watch. The Apple Watch 7 or just the Apple Watch in general is going to get enhanced swim tracking features because we think there's going to be a new rugged version coming soon. Apparently, Windows 10 update is going to fix a huge problem with drivers. Third-party drivers, different folder. Apparently, it's important. There could be a new M2-powered MacBook Pro coming soon. Let's wait and find out what's going on with that. PS Now has tried to push it to Xbox Game Pass, but the Marvel Avengers and something game that I've forgotten, that's coming. Apparently not very good. Adam Majestica says so. The Sony Xperia 3 is possibly going to have great specs, like a 3x telephoto zoom lens. That'd be amazing if that happened. That would be awesome. I've forgotten the next two stories that I was going to be doing. Oh yeah, the OLED TV from Sony, the something X90J, is going to be coming quite cheaply at £1,149, and that's for a 50-inch model. That's actually quite good because it's a good OLED version separately. And the new iPads, well, let's see, because iPad sales are on the rise. Will you be able to get one? Proud of myself for that. I'm genuinely happy.
I like that your third word was 500,000, even though it's 500,000,000.
Yeah, I subbed a story today with somebody who did it the other way around and said 3.5 billion people have died. I was like, I don't think they have. I would have noticed. So yeah, how did they do? How many did they get? No one was counting. Good. 1, 2, 3, 4,
oh, sorry,
five,
I thought Cherie was counting.
6, 7, 8, 9. 9, that's all right. I'll take that.
Fair play.
It's not record-breaking, as we know, because I hold the record. So.
And one of them was something, I forgot the name of the game.
Yeah. Overall story, though, is PS Now is bringing two new games. It's Borderlands 3, I told you. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, because we were supposed to talk about it at the end.
Nah. Is that what MLB means?
Yeah.
No, that's Major League Baseball.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, well, we'll figure it out.
Oh, well, let's go into it now, Cherie. What are we talking about?
Well, MLB 2021 is coming out, and it's typically a Sony exclusive, but not this time. Not this time. So not only will MLB 21 be coming to the PlayStation, it's also going to be coming to Xbox, and not just Xbox, where you pay for the privilege of paying playing the game. Oh no. It's debuting day one on Xbox Game Pass, meaning that it's going to be free, while if you're on Sony, you're going to be paying. And so, like, Sony fans are upset, like, well, hey, how come the Xbox gets a free option and we don't, like, which is fair. I don't think they're particularly hype over MLB 21 not being exclusive, but I think it's more along the lines of what that does mean. Like, if it was like God of War, then I'd be up in arms about it. Like, there's something to be said about having exclusivity on a console and having a game that only that console has. And Sony has done a really, really good job of developing that program. And for them to, I guess I'm fine if it's the sports games. I'm not a sports game nerd. I don't do it like that, but if it went into anything like major, I think I'd have a problem with it. But yeah. But in the grand scheme of things, money is a thing. So yeah, Sony fans don't like the idea of having to pay, and Xbox fans have Game Pass, and they're like, oh, as long as I paid this subscription, free games.
Why doesn't Sony have a proper Xbox Game Pass rival?
Because Sony.
Done. Thank you. Yep.
it's interesting because they should have a really substantial rival at this point. They bought what was it called? Gaika, I think, was like this like a game streaming platform which they then popped into like their PS became their PS Now thing. So they've got no excuse. They were kind of ahead of the curve, really. But what was interesting was Sony, I guess, took a gamble on people feeling more confident with game streaming than they've proved to be. And then really Microsoft's kind of knee-jerk reaction was, we don't have game streaming, so we're just gonna let you download the games. We're gonna make a platform that way around. And actually, that's what people wanted, you know? Like, Microsoft were playing catch up really in that regard, and then their kind of Hail Mary has proved to be the winning format,
I think what's interesting as well is that I perceived when there was obviously the Microsoft the Xbox Series X versus PS5 coming out, and there was all the Xbox Series X was going to be more powerful than the PlayStation, and yet it became clear that the PlayStation was going to be a more popular console. Now, Microsoft came out and said, you know, look, we don't really care as much about this console. We want you to play our games on whatever platform it would take. And that's where the Game Pass is our strength, and this is our focus, and this is everything. And it felt weird, the fact that it was almost giving up on the console so early on, to say, like, we don't really want you to have the Xbox Series X. We don't care. Have what you want. Do it on your old Xbox Series One or whatever, you know, Xbox One, sorry. And it's weird to have that kind of almost, resignation to a really powerful and quite in demand console. And Sony's like, yeah, definitely you want the PlayStation, you know, buy the things, stick with the things. That seems to make the most sense to them.
I think it's interesting. When you look at like a smartphone, right? A smartphone.
I often do.
You often do look at a smartphone. Big ticket prices, you know, and they're, you know, if we're talking about Samsung and Apple, 1 year shelf life before something new gets rolled out ish.
Well, yeah, something new, yeah, of course, yeah.
That's what I mean. You can keep them forever, but you know, for a few years, but they're churning out something annually. With consoles, you're looking at it like probably at least 5 years before you start thinking about a next generation. At least that's what it's worked like traditionally. We now have these sort of mid-cycle refreshes, but they never stop selling the core console, at least not so far have we seen that happen. So you get the feeling that like Xbox, Microsoft now is kind of happy for the Xbox to be a lost leader for quite a while. You know, that console itself, you know, it doesn't matter if you're playing on an older machine or whatever, hoping that like, you know, the cost of the parts that build that machine come down over the course of those 5 years. And in the meantime, it just soaks it up with these services. And it's a really, it's a very different approach than we've seen in consoles over the years. I think they're onto something quite big. As I look at a multi-platform game now, and I think I'm going to play it on Xbox because I can play, if I've got a Game Pass version of the game, I can play the same game with my cross cloud saves on the PC, on the Xbox One X that I have in my bedroom. My flatmate has a Series X in the living room, and I can just unplug my hard drive and put it in there and carry on in there. And then if I'm on the go, I can do the cloud version of the game on my phone. And it is that kind of that Netflix effect, right? So it's very cool.
I think it's a really interesting one, and I think, you know, the next 5 years will be interesting to see what actually happens with this, whether we all go online or whether Sony's got another boot of life into its PlayStation. We are running way over time right now, so I really want to get to this last section because we found out recently that scientists have taught artificial intelligence to generate pickup lines, and the results are amazing. So we're going to have a very quick game of is Gerald trying to pull Pexy with artificial intelligence or his own sexiness. So we're going to give you, how many chat up lines, Gerald, have you got that are from the AI bots, and how many are your own?
Yeah, so this is a research that's come out of a text writing AI algorithm that does the generative pre-trained transformer-free, GPT-free. Like the researchers claim that its output is so smart that it's hard to tell whether it's a human speaking or a robot speaking. And the idea is,
I want to hear you try and pull Pexy with AI. Come on.
I mean, but yeah, it does make no sense if you don't know what's going on. So some of these pickup lines have been written by an algorithm, which has been fed the basic principles of how to chat up a human. And some of them are ones that me and our producer have made up. So here we go, James. Hopefully you will feel quite aroused by the end of this segment.
Cherie, I want you to try and decide whether they're real or fake. James, you just have to accept the feeling.
Okay.
Okay. So it's a mixture here. And James, I'd like you to pick your favourite one as well, the one that you think would most likely get you back to mine. All right?
Sure.
I love you. I love you. I love you to the confines of death and disease. The legions of earth rejoice. Woe be to the world.
Sheree? AI or Gerald?
AI.
You're correct. It's AI.
Wow.
It was a bit much. Like, bit full on. Went straight in with the AI. Yeah, a bit full on. I don't think it would have really worked.
But if you know Gerald, that makes sense as well. So.
Yeah, I personally would have said that was Gerald. But...
Okay. Chap line two. Hey, baby. Our babies will taste better than Pop-Tarts in the future.
What's Pop-Tart?
Pop-Tarts. Like in a real world chat up situation, I stumbled over my line.
Got nerves.
AI.
James, were you aroused?
No, I wasn't. It was the fact you're eating our babies. Well, not really.
You're both wrong because it's one of mine and it was very arousing.
And it's worked in the past.
Right. Next one. Hey. You look like Jesus if he were a butler in a Russian mansion.
Ooh.
AI.
That's nice.
Sherry's going AI. James?
That was nice. Yeah, I like that one. That was a little compliment wrapped up in a normal conversation. I quite liked it.
Quite liked it. AI or human?
AI.
Correct. It's the AI. Seems to be a winner so far. Okay, next one. Hey, baby. Are your schematics compatible with this protocol?
That's you.
That's Sheree said it's me. James?
It's you, and it would work.
And it would work? Well, you've just pulled a robot. that was an AI line. Right.
So this is the final one. This is the win. It's 2-2.
Two, the final one. Okay, right. I've got a few ones here. Okay, right. Last one. Okay. Oh, this one. I cannot believe how good this one is.
So I don't know if this is AI or Gerald still, even that lead up.
Hey, baby. If heaven is a place on earth, you must be Belinda Carlisle at its innermost geological layer.
AI.
Huh? You going for AI?
Yeah, it'll be AI, right?
Are you going for AI?
No, that's you, Gerald.
We all know it's you, Gerald.
I'm just weirded out.
Are you feeling aroused? Are you feeling like this guy is the one?
Yeah, that one and the Jesus ones are my favourite. Jesus is more likely to get me home, but Belinda Carlisle made me happier.
But Belinda Carlisle was mine, so I got a smile out of you in the pub anyway, didn't I? That'll do.
Oh, Jesus.
There's one more that is just so mad that I'm just going to quickly read it out. This is an AI one. My name is a complicated combination of 45 degrees of forward motion, 25 degrees of leftward drift, 75 degrees of upward acceleration, and infinity. And that is the point where my love for you stops.
All right.
And on that note, that's where we stop as well. Sheree, have you had a good time? How do we get in contact with you?
Always. You can always get in contact with me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Smith 11. That is M-I-S-S-11. All right.
I hear it in my dreams.
I thought I was going... I mean, I have a haunting yet lilting voice, so I get it.
I love it. It was an homage. Sorry.
With that stated... Thank you for the homage, if you really mean it. I don't know if you really mean it. But with that stated, if you want to read about laptops, tablets, headphones, VR, AR, we're getting into printers very, very soon. All that stuff and more. Definitely come see us on Laptop Mag. And as always, laptop then, laptop now, laptop forever!
Pexy, how about you?
You can find me on Twitter at JamesRWP. And yeah, come read about phones on Tech Radar, please. Come read all our LG or our LG memories in our LG phones content so far.
And Gerald.
You can find me on Twitter. My tag is GGMidnight. That's GEEGEE Midnight. At twitter.com/tweets/facebook/instagram/snapchat.
I've worked out why we're going so far over on this episode in terms of recording time. Lovely to have you though, Gerald, as always, of course. And I am Super Beeve on Twitter and other things, but do follow at Tech Radar on all the socials. It's all the same. We've done very well to keep hold of that one, and get all your tech news from that lovely place. Thank you everyone for listening. We'll be back next week with episode something else. If you've enjoyed it, please do give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Leave a review, because it helps people find out that we are a great podcast. I want people to hear us more. And thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.